Right, a while ago I was asked to do a podcast on BPD or borderline personality disorder anger, and I have gone to do this podcast on numerous occasions, and it's something that it just hits home too hard. So when I'm ready, I will do that podcast. Today I am going to do a podcast on psychosis in bipolar disorder and paranoid ideation or paranoia and psychosis in borderline personality disorder. Now, the two seem to overlap quite well, quite a lot, and I'm not sure which has been causing mine. I don't know if you've listened to my podcast a while ago where I said I was suffering from paranoia. Now, I've got to the point where I actually believe a lot of what's going on, including that my dad didn't die in 2017, but he faked his death to come out of my life because he can't deal with me anymore. Now, I believe that is true, and my friend is telling me it's not true. I promise you it's not true, but I can't deny my own mind or my own perception of things. However, as I know I was experiencing paranoia, I do believe at the moment it's just a realisation of the truth. And I don't believe that Dad not dying is paranoia. It's if it's wrong, which I really don't think it is, if it's wrong, then that would be psychosis. Even though I'm on now 3 milligrams of risperidone, that's 1.5 in the morning, 1.5 at night. And it seems to have calmed me down and made me less agitated, but it doesn't make me not believe the things I believe. If anything, I feel more certain of them. And I do actually think that a lot of them are right, but going into all of that stuff would take probably about a full half hour, so I'm going to stick with the subject at hand. And I've looked up some articles on bipolar psychosis and paranoid ideation in BPD. I can't find a lot on psychosis on BPD, which just compacts the whole bipolar psychosis and it being bipolar psychosis if it's not real. Again, I have to kind of do this podcast on the points of it's all, if I mention it, it's if it's not real, because I believe it is real. But people are telling me I'm suffering from like delusions and stuff like that. I'm not having hallucinations or anything, auditory or visual. I'm getting funny tastes in my mouth, and I mean really like off, and that, I know that can be a symptom, but I mean I've had that on and off for years. The thing is, it is my last bout of what again would have been considered psychosis slash paranoia was I believed that I could change the world through a particular project, and that it was going to unite everyone and bring peace, and that I had the power to do it. Now, someone asked me, a psychologist asked me, said, "Well, yeah, but what is the difference between that and like, you know, a dream?" It's like, well, it's a dream is getting out there with other people doing stuff and realizing humility, and then the other side of it is believing delusions of grandeur, which I'm not having. That's another reason why I believe it's real, because I'm not having similar symptoms the last time. I'm having similar ones, but not the same. And you know, it's that whole I believed I was chosen for something, chosen for this particular thing, and that I only I could I could do it, and could lead this this union of sorts. Now, I've never heard of anyone with BPD experiencing that, and that's what compounds my bipolar diagnosis, as far as I'm concerned, which I think they're still in question of. Anyway, that's a whole nother podcast, and I'm seeing a new psychiatrist next week, so I'm going to find out what is going on there. And I had bipolar treatment, like it's like a bipolar education, if you like, going through different aspects and medication and stuff like that. So I don't know what I don't know what's going on there. Anyway, so I'm not approaching it from the elements of a particular diagnosis. I'm just going to address bipolar psychosis and borderline paranoid ideation. At the end of the day, they do cross paths, in the sense that psychosis in bipolar disorder can still mean that you think people are after you. Now, I don't just think people are after me. I think it's, deeper than that. But what I'm experiencing, or what other people were telling me I'm experiencing, are related to this. So I'm going to start off with a site called Medical Muse Today, and it's on bipolar psychosis. It says, or is it living with psychosis? It's bipolar psychosis, what you need to know. So psychosis can occur with bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, some types of dementia, and other conditions. Person's thinking may become disconnected or dissociated with reality. A psychotic episode can involve hallucinations, delusions, confusion and disturbed thoughts, lack of insight and self-awareness. Pattern of symptoms will vary between individuals and according to the situation. In a study published in 2015, researchers noted that there is not just one type of psychosis, but different types, some of which have more severe impact than others. Scientists found that different biomarkers in the brain seem to correlate with different types and severity of symptoms. This may indicate different changes in the brain function and brain chemicals leading to different forms of psychosis. Okay, so bipolar psychosis happens when a person experiences an episode of severe mania or depression, along with psychotic symptoms and hallucinations. The symptoms tend to match a person's mood. During a manic phase, they may believe they have special powers. Just on a personal note, hence relating back to the main one, that I spoke about. This type of psychosis can lead to reckless or dangerous behaviour, which mine did. Anyway, moving on. If bipolar psychosis happens during a low mood or depressive episode, the individual may believe that someone is trying to harm them, or that they themselves have done something wrong. These beliefs can trigger feelings of extreme anger, sadness, or fear in the person. Too close to home, some of these. From past experiences. Psychosis in bipolar and schizophrenia. Bipolar shares some symptoms with schizophrenia and other brain disorder. Psychosis can occur with both conditions. Both disorders disrupt a person's life enough to interfere with daily activities and their ability to maintain close relationships or hold down a job. Bipolar psychosis generally lasts for brief periods of time. A person who has experienced an episode of bipolar psychosis is likely to return to a lucid state with treatment. Okay, so that's the first one. The second one is it's a podcast by Mind. Now, for those not in the UK, that's a Mind charity. So that's mind.org.uk, and it's the if you look up the Mind podcast, Living with Psychosis. There's a text of the whole interview, and there's obviously also the recording. I don't know what platforms you can get to listen to my podcast, however, it is on this particular page. Now, this is Rethink Mental Illness. I'm pretty sure it's a British Yeah, it's because it refers to the NHS, but this is simply living with psychosis. And what is psychosis? So we'll do the overview. Psychosis is a medical term used to describe hearing or seeing things that do not exist, or believing things that other people do not. Common examples include hearing voices or believing that people are trying to do you harm. You can experience psychosis for a wide variety of reasons. For example, it can be due to having a mental illness such as schizophrenia or bipolar disorder. It may be caused by drug use, brain injury, or extreme stress. There is no single cause of psychosis, but researchers believe that genes, biological factors, and environment may play a part. For people in the UK, in the NHS, you should be offered medication and talking therapy to help with your symptoms. To access treatment for psychosis, you need to have an assessment by specialist mental health services, such as the community mental health team. If you're this is a general rule, if you are experiencing very severe psychotic symptoms, you may need more urgent help, such as going into hospital or going to A&E if the situation requires it. There are different perspectives on how we should deal with psychosis. This includes listening to the voices or trying to understand the meaning of the unusual beliefs. Okay, so there's a broader point here. So, psychosis is a medical term. It describes symptoms people have when they experience, believe, or view things around them differently to other people. Some people don't find it helpful to think about a psychosis as a mental illness. If you do have psychosis, you might see or hear things that others may not, or believe things other people do not. Someone described it as a break from reality. You also may hear terms. Excuse me. You may also hear terms such as psychotic symptoms, psychotic episode, or psychotic experience describing the same thing. In mental health care, these experiences are viewed as symptoms of mental illness. A report from the British Psychological Society has said that use of experiences is more neutral than the term symptoms. We will use experience in order to discuss this page, ensure this page relates to everyone who reads it. As this report points out, it can be difficult to discuss medical terms in a psychological way. Because of this, there may be some overlap between medical and neutral terminology throughout the page. If someone has psychosis, they might not be aware and believe their experiences are real. About 1 in every 100 people will experience a psychotic episode in their lifetime. Hallucinations. These are things you hear or feel which are not there. For example, hearing voices, seeing things that other people do not see, feeling someone is touching you or smelling things which other people cannot. And taste is also a part of that because smelling and taste are quite linked, aren't they? Delusions. These are beliefs that are not true and may seem irrational to others. For example, you may believe that you are being followed by secret agents or members of the public, that people are out to get you or trying to kill you. This could be strangers or family members. Something has been planted in your brain to monitor your thoughts, or you have special powers or on a special mission, and in some cases, that you are a god. You may not always find these experiences distressing, although people do. You can stay in work and function at a high level in your life, even if you have these experiences. Cognitive experiences. Cognitive experiences are ones that relate to mental action, such as learning, remembering, and functioning. Some cognitive experiences associated with psychosis are being unable to sustain attention, memory problems, unable to take on new information, poor decision making. Right, now this page then goes on to what conditions are linked with psychosis, and because I'm trying to avoid the various diagnosis because of the overlap, I'm going to skip that bit and go on to the next page that I'm using. So this is an article on verywellmind.com. It says it's symptoms of bipolar psychosis. What I've gone down to are early warning signs of psychosis, in the hope that they may help someone. So some early signs, warning signs of psychosis include consistently worrying about grades or job performance, struggling to concentrate or think clearly, having unwarranted suspiciousness of others, failure to keep up with personal hygiene, that's lack of self-care, on a broader term, withdrawing from friends and family, experiencing strong inappropriate feelings or no feelings at all. Getting help for psychosis sooner rather than later can make your recovery process faster and easier, so early indicators should not be ignored. That said, people close to the individual experiencing psychosis are usually the ones to detect these symptoms. People experiencing psychosis will typically appear incoherent and completely unaware of how extreme their behaviour has become. In terms of symptoms, they are typically classified as either being mood congruent or mood incongruent. Sorry, I can't pronounce that word. So, mood congruent symptoms. The hallucinations and or delusions match the person's mood. The hallucinations may be contextualised by a person's delusions. The underlying belief that you're being spied on can manifest with imagined voices or imagined sounds of voices from the next room. Mood incongruent symptoms. So basically this is mood related symptoms and mood unrelated symptoms. So mood unrelated symptoms, mood incongruent symptoms. A person's mood does not match the delusion and or hallucination. People will often believe that there are voices telling them what to do or that they are being influenced by some unseen force. Episodes are considered serious and will more often than not require hospitalisation. So we're going to go on to another part. So it's understanding delusions. Delusions are false beliefs that a person believes are true. Previously referred to as paranoid disorder, delusions are characterised by episodes that are either bizarre, something beyond the realm of possibility, or non-bizarre, things that are within the realm of possibility. Examples of bizarre illusions include being abducted by aliens or having a CIA tracking device in your head. Non-bizarre delusions, by contrast, often manifest with claims of being poisoned, followed, or loved from afar. Unlike hallucinations, delusions can often seem perfectly normal in casual situations. Psychotic delusions are typically clustered around one or several of the following themes. Jealousy, usually related to a loved one's infidelity. Grandiosity, characterised by an inflated sense of self-worth. Erotomania, the belief that someone important loves you. Persecution, in which you believe others plan to do you harm. Somatic delusions, by which you believe you are ill or have a physical defect. And then there's understanding hallucinations. Hallucinations are characterised by physical sensations that are not real. With regards to bipolar disorder, this may be an extreme manic episode combined with extreme sleep deprivation, the latter of which can also cause hallucinations in people who don't have bipolar. Hallucinations don't just involve perceptions, but actual sensations involving one or more of the five senses. They can be classified as visual hallucinations, auditory hallucinations, such as hearing voices that aren't there, olfactory hallucinations involving smell, tactile hallucinations such as feeling bugs crawling all over you, and taste hallucinations. Okay, so, and is psychosis dangerous? The word psychosis can be scary for some people, suggesting the affected person is likely to inflict self-harm or cause harm to others. While this is possible, particularly in cases of severe mood unrelated psychosis, episodes are usually more troubling than dangerous. Okay, so this is an American site. It says, if you or someone you know is experiencing thoughts of self-harm or harming others, contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800 273 8255 or dial 911. So this is a word from Very Well. With a holistic approach to treatment of bipolar psychosis, including psychotherapy, medication, and social support, most people can fully recover and return to their normal lives without further incident. While bipolar disorder cannot be cured in the traditional sense, with proper diagnosis and treatment, symptoms of the disease can be successfully controlled over the long term. Now, I don't really identify with the disease thing because, I think it can be a mental health disorder in the sense that it is not ordered like the typical order of things, it just makes more sense. Anyway. So, and then the last bit is paranoid ideation or paranoia in BPD. It means that you have beliefs you are being harassed or persecuted. It can also refer to beliefs of general suspiciousness regarding the motives or intent of others. Paranoid ideation is not the same thing as delusional paranoia that can occur during psychosis. Delusional paranoia is based on false thoughts and beliefs rather than perception of harassment. For example, if you're experiencing delusional paranoia, you might believe that the government has bugged your house and car in order to keep tabs on you. If you're experiencing paranoid ideation, you might see two people in the hallway talking and believe they're talking about you. If you have borderline personality disorder, it's likely that you have experienced paranoid ideation. It is one of the possible criteria for a diagnosis according to the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, which is called the DSM-5 as well. It's the fifth edition of the DSM. It's also important to notice that stress may make these paranoid thoughts and beliefs worse. Okay, so really it just goes on to talk about BPD and the causes and diagnostic criteria and stuff. So this is Very Well Mind again, just paranoid ideation. Now, there's another site. It's the only one that I could really find particularly helpful, really. So, all right. So this is actually regarding paranoid ideation in borderline personality disorder, which I can relate to, but again, if these things aren't true, then it is clearly psychosis, not paranoid ideation. Many people believe with borderline personality disorder experience paranoia. Many people with BPD experience paranoia or paranoid thinking under conditions of stress. Paranoia is a term generally used to refer to intense beliefs of mistrust or the malicious intention of others. For example, someone with paranoia may have the belief that the government is listening to their phone calls or that their spouse is having an affair. Paranoid ideation in borderline personality disorder. Okay, so just a quick note that actually this site and the one like this is Very Well Mind as well, but the previous article I addressed actually said that the difference between psychosis and paranoid delusions, paranoid ideation and paranoid delusions are, and psychosis rather, are the level of intentions. So, you believed you're being controlled, or someone can read your mind or influence you in a particular way, or something like that. So, that's, I don't know what sort of how to take that. Again, it's one of those things that it just overlaps with bipolar and BPD. So, anyway. For example, someone with paranoia may have the belief that the government is listening to their phone calls or that their spouse is having an affair. I've done that bit. Paranoid ideation in borderline personality disorder. Episodes of paranoid thinking or ideation can range from mild and short-lived to very severe and chronic. Some individuals with psychotic disorders, such as schizophrenia or delusional disorder, tend to have severe, chronic paranoid ideation that has no relationship to reality. In contrast, while many people with borderline personality disorder do experience paranoia, since it is a part of the diagnostic criteria, it tends to only occur under conditions of stress or interpersonal conflict. For example, an adolescent with BPD might see two of his friends talking in the hallway and develop the paranoid belief that his friends all secretly hate him and are planning to humiliate him. Or an adult with BPD might misread their partner's cues that they want some alone time as a sign that the relationship is being terminated, and dwell on this belief even when a great deal of evidence to the contrary is presented. Okay, so I have experienced that in relationships and personal relationships, but there's a difference, isn't there? It seems to be on a personal level as opposed to on a kind of a higher level. Now, the whole dad faking his death thing is, yeah, on a more personal level, but it goes so far beyond that. And I've got, I can't explain by evidence. It's just, I don't know, I just know it's true. Anyway, at least one study suggests that while individuals with BPD differ from those with psychotic disorders in terms of their psychotic reactivity, which is their tendency to have paranoid ideation and other thinking and perceptual problems under stress, they do not necessarily differ from patients with psychotic disorders in terms of the intensity of the paranoia or other psychotic experience. So while people with BPD have short-term psychotic symptoms, these symptoms are not necessarily mild. Okay, so stress busters to help tame paranoid ideation in BPD. Because paranoia is in BPD is worse when you're under stress, you might find it helpful to find ways to relax and work through your stress. Some popular stress busters are deep breathing. The advantage of deep breathing is that you can do it anywhere, anytime. Sit or lie down, fill up your lungs slowly, and then exhale your breath back out slowly and repeat. So this is actually breathing from your diaphragm rather than your chest, and it does actually help you to relax. But the problem is you have to be in the mindset to be able to do that in the first place. And personally, when I'm in a particular mindset, it goes on to say meditation, yoga, and tai chi, which are brilliant. Okay, this one looks quite good. Biofeedback. In biofeedback, you learn how to control things such as heart rate in certain muscles by having monitors attached to you so you can visualize and hear what's going on in your body. By learning how to change your thoughts or emotions, it is a way to slow these mechanisms down and help you reduce stress. Okay, so personally, other ways to reduce stress are trying to engage in creativity, whether it be writing, art, making things, craft, whatever, knitting, crochet, whatever is right for you. If you haven't got a great attention span, try and do it just for as long as you can. Like, I don't have a great attention span, but I'm trying to read this book, so I set myself 5 to 10 pages a day. The minute I stop taking information in and I have to reread it, I stop reading. Because I know the information isn't going to go in, so there's no point in reading it. As an example. So, I'm going to wrap up there. And for once, I think I've actually got it within half an hour, as we are on 29 minutes, 33 seconds. So, I hope someone finds that useful. I have a blog. I think it's called Bird with a Bipolar. I shall post it on Twitter. And there's also my email address for this podcast. It's called birdwiththebipolar@gmail.com. So any feedback or anything like that, I think I'm Bipolar Bird on Twitter. Any feedback or questions or whatever, please get in touch. Okay, right, thanks for listening. Bye.